succession number 23787, reel 12.
Major Dillon, reel 12. We're talking about the regimental ball, and you just you picked who was going to come. What was the next stage of organising it then?
Well, the organisation was fairly easy. We rented the Samson Hercules ballroom or wherever it was, and they knew exactly what to do. The order room sent the invitations out, the tickets all went out, and the band was hired, and also the regimental band was there. And one's headache was the telephone kept ringing. The people who had the invitation gone out yet. And I said, well, I don't really know because it's not up to me. I don't actually do it. It's because I haven't had my invitation yet. You had to give a sort of hollow laugh. That was a bit of a pressure thing. And the other big social event, which...
Hang on, what was the actual ball like? Could you describe what it was like?
Oh, it was everybody in mess kit, and the band played, and the champagne flowed, and it went on till 3 o'clock in the morning. It was a very grand affair.
In marquees?
No, because it was in the winter time. It was in the ballroom in Norwich, the Samson Hercules ballroom.
Sorry.
It was in those days. And then there was another, further up Elsham Road, there was a ballroom there we used to hire. And it was quite a considerable event.
And you were saying that the other big social event...
The other big social event was the regimental tent at the Royal Norfolk Show, which was introduced in my time. We had this rather splendid tent, which, I don't know, came from the Boer War, I think. We had it repaired and plugged onto the members' enclosure. And it was the officers' mess, the Royal Norfolk Regiment. And we used to hold court in there, and of course everybody wanted to get an invitation to that. We put the silver on the table and... Very nice place. You went to the agricultural show, somewhere to put your foot up and have feet up and have a drink. That still goes to this day, I'm glad to say. I read in the newsletter, it still goes. The Queen came to tea there in my day. Because
what do you remember of that?
We told the... the committee said to the committee of the Royal Oak Show that the Queen had intimated to us that she'd like to come to tea with us. She was our colonel, you see. You know, the Queen, she'll never come to tea with you. Rather snobby, arrogant Norfolk County, wherever they were doing this. And I said, well, upon a fact, she said she wishes to come to tea, so you better be aware of that. So she did come to tea, and the teapot, you may have tea out of it in a minute, was the only silver teapot, but it was our silver teapot. She had her tea out of that. She came to tea, and I have this memory of her. She came in, sat down, got her powder lipstick out, kicked her shoes off, and said, the only place I feel really at home is in the officers' mess of one of my regiments. Did my horse win the 330? She was absolutely relaxed. She said, I'm at home. I know where I... In one of my officers' messes, I'm at home. Which was nice.
Anything else before we come to this winding up?
I don't think so, no.
You had to make... As you came to the end of your time, the Norfolks were also coming to the end of their time.
Yeah,
can you explain what was happening?
Well, there was all these options for change, and I was offered the Golden Bowler, you know, the Golden Bowler scheme and all that, and rightly or wrongly, I decided to take it. For the first half of your service, you're too young, old boy, to do that, and then suddenly you find you're too old. The only thing I found I was just right for was the Golden Bowler, and I realised why they did this Golden Bowler, to get rid of the chaps like me. We were still alive, because I was on the Military Secretary Committee to do with this. We all depot commanders were in London. We went up. You weren't killed, old boy. We've worked it out. There were going to be another million casualties in Japan. So, there are too many of you. So we've issued this scheme. Very high-powered chaps are going to become generals. We want to stay. Those chaps we'd like to get rid of, we'll tell them they need to go. But the chaps in the middle have got an option. And it's not a bad offer.
What did they offer? I mean, what
They offered a modified pension. I forget the figures, but it doesn't matter. A modified pension and a capital, quite a handsome capital sum.
And so you took that in 1960?
Yeah.
Now, what about the regiment, though? Because that was going as well. Could you, you said you had to make the announcement. Tell me about that.
Well, one didn't know, really, other than that, one did not know the detail of what was going to happen. Amalgamation and all that. Becoming a Royal Anglian and all that. I didn't know anything about it. It all came about.
So you didn't know before
I didn't really know.
Now, when you left the army, just to finish, how did you... you've been in the army all your adult life, What did you decide to do when you came out?
I didn't really decide. I wanted a job. I met a chap. It's rather like joining the SAS. I say, oh, boy, would you like a job in... I'm the production manager in the local soft drinks department of the brewery. They need a salesman. I said, what are you paying? I said, oh, that's not enough. Oh, you might be able to get a bit more. So I joined as a salesman, which was quite something, and then got into the brewery thing, and then I climbed the ladder and became a director of Watney's. I found my military training, in fact, was extremely useful. Preparation for going into business. Particularly, we had three takeovers, which I survived, and your military training was very good when the enemy prowling about.
And what about your contacts with your old Red? You still keep up with both the special operations?
I did whilst in the brewery, they wanted me to, the Colonel of the Regiment wanted me to command the TA battalion. And I asked the brewery, I was on the board by then, the chairman, he said, well, oh boy, I know what it would mean to you, but you've got a very busy job. My advice is don't, because you will be drawn between two things. So I didn't, but I took out a TA commission and used to go to camp with the territorials. I made a lot of friends with the territorials. I got a great lot of time for the territorials. And they liked having me along, I think, because I was a professional.
Were you attached to any particular battalion?
4th Battalion, which was our TA battalion, the 4th Battalion.
What rank did you retain? Because sometimes
Major, I retained the rank of Major. I would have been Colonel if I had accepted the offer. Peter Barclay offered me command. He and I were both disappointed, I think. Well, I know I was, but John Morse, a very shrewd boy, he said, I know exactly what it means, but I put you in charge of the brewery dealie. It's a big job, like a very big job. And you can't afford to take your eye off the ball. So I listened to his advice. He was right, I'm sure. Because I could have easily been sidetracked into disappearing on military adventures, not paying attention to business.
You're still connected with the Special SOE Club. And you're still connected with the Royal Norfolk Regiment. Are those two things still important to you?
Yes. I mean, the regimental association, the magazine comes out, I'd like to read, is part of one's life. It's part of one's family, I suppose. Regiment is a family, and you read about people all the time who've died or married or something. And sadly, it's becoming less so. Age had not wearing, nor the years condemned, but in fact, we are rapidly wasting assets, fading.
And what about the SOE Club? What does that offer you?
The SOE Club primarily offers me a very comfortable pull-up in London. You know, if you go and stay at a hotel, some waiter's always fussing up, saying, can I get you any... I got the key or enter card. I can walk into the Special Forces Club, sit down, ring the bell, ask for somebody to bring me a glass of beer, and I'll open the newspaper. Nobody asks me, fusses me. And if I want to stay in London, I ring up. You need to book a bit early. Very comfortable rooms at a very good address. Just behind Harrods. I mean, it couldn't be a better address.
And do you actually meet with each other, the veterans?
Very occasionally. If you're staying, when I was in business in London with the brewery, I used to stay there. I met a lot of people who I hadn't met, people who'd been, for instance, in the French section, who, like me, had got themselves into business and were staying at the club. One made a lot of acquaintances. But by and large, the SOE were rather secret. You're a member. You don't really discuss very much.
Thank you very much.